Hello and welcome back to That's What She Said. My name is Mercy. Hope y'all are doing amazing. That's What She Said is now an audio and also a video podcast, and I definitely can't keep calm. And in every episode, we are going to have some amazing people coming and talking about different topics. And today's topic is definitely going to be a little intense, I must say. But before I introduce the guest for the day, Mercy's Gyan for the day is here. Finances matter a lot in relationships. People who don't share core values and a shared mindset around money make for terrible partners. The top cause of divorce these days is a lack of alignment around money. Not these days, I think always have been. And any talk around money, financial talk, needs to be had very, very early on in the relationship. So any concerns with money, with regards to money, if you have, talk it out with your partner as soon as possible. So let's welcome our guests for the day. Today with us, we have KK on the show. Hello, KK. Welcome to the show. Welcome to That's What She Said.
Thanks for having me here.
So KK is a writer, director, actor. But I have to mention on this episode, especially what he's not is he's not a financial advisor and he's not a financial expert, right?
KK? That's absolutely correct.
Okay, so we're going to be talking about managing finances in a relationship today. So KK, tell me before we start our topic, how are you?
Fantastic. I'm doing very, very well. It's 9:30. I'm on daddy duty today.
Okay.
Because my wife's out of town, so I'm taking my daughter to school. It's a nice morning.
Exactly. Nice morning. Think that's exactly why we want to talk about finances also with you, because you've been married for a while. You also have a daughter, which means you've been running a family very successfully. So we have to get to know from you how you're managing finances in a relationship. When did you have your first talk about finances with your partner?
This is very interesting. Well, Rohini and I have known each other since UKG in school. So I'm sure at some point of time before we started dating, maybe in fifth or sixth, we might have had a conversation when we went to a school excursion about spending money. I remember that.
Oh my goodness.
But we've never really sat down to have a very intense conversation on finance and drawing boundaries. I think we organically grew into it because we've known each other for the longest time, and we started dating when we were 21. And I think that growth has been very organic in terms of just understanding who she is financially and who I am financially, because I feel spending, expenditure, and how you think about money is very closely linked to who you are as a person as well.
True.
So I think we had the chance to sort of organically grow and understand who we are as people, even financially.
Okay. So I think that's the best way to get to know a person as well, right? Because when I was preparing for this topic, thinking of what questions to ask and stuff, I was thinking about my journey as well with my husband. And I was thinking, did we really ever actually sit and have a talk about, okay, so how much do you make? Or like, you know, how are we going to do this? Like, did we have... Answer is no, because we've also...
It's a very funny question to ask artists. No?
I think so. For artists especially, I think it's just like understandable. Yeah. Okay, probably this is what is happening. But like, I'm also thinking about how arranged marriages work. Like, do you know anybody, like your friends, have they come and told you like, you know, this is how it's happening?
Well, I'm thinking about, as you say, I don't think I've had that conversation about someone discussing finances with their partner yet, with my friends. But I think it's a conversation that's becoming more and more important today, because social norms in terms of how people spend and how people go to work is also changing, because no longer the man is being the breadwinner in the family. That's
exactly.
Also changing. So that conversation is becoming more nuanced these days, and I think it's happening more these days. But I think I've grown up in that era of it feels nice to be able to, you know, take care of your family. And I'm that sort of guy. I feel like it's nice to be able to pay for your first date. It's nice to be able to do that.
True.
I come from that era of things. And I'm also understanding that this change is inevitable. It's a beautiful change also, that both sides are able to contribute to that whole factor.
Exactly. Yeah. You are just dating someone. Like, how was it when you started dating Rohini? I understand you started dating a much, much early on in your life as well. But what do you think could be the benefits if you have that open conversation with your partner?
For one, if you're really broke, it helps to have that conversation so you understand that where both of you are coming from and you're able to set like a tone for that relationship. There's a lot of chances for humor to set in even on the financial side and stresses to kind of leave your system, because they exist. Right. You know, especially in the courtship phase, they hugely exist. And exactly. You want to do the, you want to put the best versions of yourself out there. But I feel sometimes the best version may not be the most honest version.
Very true.
And it's nice to set that tone from the beginning, because then the relationship grows in a more organic, easy.
Yeah, there won't be any expectations.
Yeah, exactly. Correct. And unrealistic expectations. I think expectations are great to have, mm-hmm. but it won't be unrealistic if you're honest from the beginning. Because everyone knows what your growth trajectory is and where you are starting.
Was there any like a money sort of lesson that you learned from your family, like from your parents that you saw them doing and you thought, okay, maybe I should do this with my family as well?
I've seen my mom hold the family together very beautifully, especially during times of, you know, where there was scarcity. She was great at saving money, whatever little she had, you know, she would save it beautifully. And we never felt like we didn't have much. We always felt like there was something. That we always felt like we lived in abundance, because that's the environment my mom provided for us. But I was also, as a child, always aware somehow that that wasn't easy for her. You know, that wasn't easy for my dad, my mom. They were working through everything to make sure my brother and I had like a really good life. Even if we had to go for an excursion in school and if it was expensive, I know my parents would work really hard to make sure that we didn't feel that way. But at that point of time, I think the walls in my house were kind of, we could hear what people spoke. So we were like, actually, they're going through a rough time and they're doing this for us. But I think it was extremely important for me to grow up that way, because I grew up understanding the value of money. And more than anything else, for me, it's beyond the value of money. It's what humans do for each other, what parents do for their children, the amount of emotion and effort that goes into providing that for their children. So they may have to lay off doing something that's good for them to take care of us. And those things are very precious lessons for me.
That reminded me when you mentioned excursion, right? That reminded me of something that my mom used to do. Yeah. Like when I was in school, she taught this thing, right? Like she used to save 100 rupees. Yeah. Every day. Like she used to just take it and she used to put it in a different place and she'd be like, I'm just saving this for you. Yeah. So whenever I need to buy something for myself, like, you know, something expensive, or if I have to go for a school excursion, she'll take it from there. So it doesn't feel a pinch, you know, to take it from the already existing account. She used to take it from that savings and she used to give it to me.
I mean, I think it's a mindset, right?
Yes.
It's just a mindset. People find different ways to segregate you know, money for this and that. It's a mindset. It's amazing, because today it's you move away from the saving mindset today. If you look on any podcast about finance, people are like, don't save money. It doesn't do anything for you. Don't save money. Like, find a way to invest in it. It's such a nuanced conversation, because every country is so different. You listen to Robert Kiyosaki and you're like, oh, real estate, let's put money there. And then you look at the realistic scenario of what it is in India, like, how?
I know, exactly. It's so overwhelming sometimes to see these financial influencers talk you know, how we should invest. Like, have you ever taken an advice from a financial expert and done it? Have you done something that has worked for you?
I honestly don't know if it's worked for me or not yet. Okay. I still think I'm in the process of financially educating myself. I've started only now in the last couple of years.
I think we've all started pretty late.
and I feel like I'm in this massive pool and I'm sort of drowning and I'm just barely able to keep my head up.
Right.
But I think that's what's missing in schools, right? Because our school educational system, especially when we grew up, purely catered to go get a job.
Exactly,
you know, we still worked under the what the system British left us with. And I feel that's what needs to change now, because we need to be financially educated as when you're young. Because technically, if you know how to invest small amounts of money in your teens and your 20s, you're going to be a millionaire by the time you hit your 30s. And I think that's very crucial for children to learn, especially in today's space, because everyone is an entrepreneur. It is all about knowing how you can utilize your money and make the money work for you.
For me, I think I grew up, like me and my sister, we didn't know anything about finances, right? In 2020, my dad passed away.
Right.
So right after that, I was put in a spot where I had to kind of, you know, learn a lot about finances, and I did not know. And I was actually hating on everything that I was going through. I was like, why did I have to do this now?
Yeah.
Like you said, the educational institutions need to be like, you know, all this curriculum has to be there. Like, you know, they have to incorporate how to do taxes. Let's start from there.
Yeah.
We don't know how to do taxes.
Yeah.
We are so dependent on our auditors. And even when and they probably send a working sheet, we don't know how to go through it.
Absolutely.
Right? We see it and we are like, okay, probably this is what it is.
Thank
send
God.
It.
I thought I was the only one. Huh?
I know. I think it's a very millennial thing. Probably we are here. The Gen Zs are not able to relate to what we are saying probably. But yeah, I think this is what it is. Okay, so how do you and your partner, for these things I'll pay, for these things you take it, do you have like a rule?
So I feel like we're like yin and yang when it comes to money, right? Mm-hmm. There's a story that I have that kind of clearly puts out who we are in the relationship when it comes to finance. So there was this time when we traveled to South America. We were staying at this beautiful, beautiful place that was just, we wake up and you can see the Amazon River like running by, right? And that morning, I suddenly realized, man, I spent all my money. I think I'm done. So I looked at Roni and said, Roni, man, I spent so much. I think I'm sort of done. I got my last few dollars left. She said, don't worry. I haven't started yet. We got enough for that and more for the next 2 weeks.
Nice.
So that's us. She's extremely efficient. I wouldn't even say frugal. She's extremely efficient with money because she has been, since she's a sailor, mm-hmm. and she's been an athlete, and she's been having to take care of herself by herself ever since she was, I think, 12, 13, when she started traveling. And she's traveled to a whole host of countries by herself, been there for months, trained. So in that aspect, she's very efficient with money.
Okay.
And I like to have a great time. So I spend my money when we travel. And so it kind of really works well for both of us. One of our first trips to Europe, this was when I was in 23, I think, 23, 24. And I remember for some odd reason, I thought, you know what, this time I'm going to give my money to Rohini because then we'll have an efficient way of spending it. Mm. Okay, but then this happened. There was this beautiful sunset in Prague and I saw this guy selling pista flavored ice cream. And I was like, this is the perfect moment. It felt like, you know, everything was connecting. The sunset was connecting me. The people were vibing. And I was like, I have to have this pista ice cream as I lean over this railing on the side. And
perfect. I can totally visualize this.
Right?
You know?
And I said, Roni, let's do the ice cream. She looked at me and said, no. And I thought she was joking. Right?
Okay.
So the next half an hour, I said, hey, Roni, let's go have an ice cream. And I realized she was serious. She's like, we don't have to spend that much money on an ice cream, which is probably not going to be tasting great. And I said, Roni, no, this is the perfect environment, sunset, people, ice cream. I've come to Europe. Let's do this. But we didn't. Hmm. Then I realized, keep your money yourself and figure out a way to spend it efficiently. That's it.
Right.
So this is all learning
where
experiences
to spend,
from. Correct.
That matters. Do you have any money-saving tips for people who are planning for a vacation, since you've also traveled a lot?
This is nice. So, for example, there's this, it's not mutual funds, it's Tata AIG. Mm-hmm. And it's something that I park my money in because it grows every year. And I've been thinking, we do one massive vacation when we finish, when it comes back to us, we do one massive vacation with our daughter, Atiya. But apart from that, if you're going to ask me tips on saving for vacation, I'm like this, okay? I either do my shows or I do a film, I make my money. The first thing that's on my mind is I want to take my family and go out on a trip. I've never thought about saving.
Right.
Till today, touch wood, for me, it's just worked in a way where I find my money and I allow the money to give me experiences because I feel the best investment that I can make is the investment in myself. This is what I have learned. When I upskill, when I travel, when I meet people, that's the best way money has worked for me. It helps me grow as a person. It helps me grow intellectually and in terms of my skill. And that's always brought in more money. That's been the most sound investment I've made. Every time I've invested in myself. And a part of that investment is travel.
Right.
So I think it's perspective. It's how you look at this.
Correct.
Right? People feel investment sometimes is you park it somewhere where your money grows or you save it somewhere and then maybe you have some returns. I feel like the biggest returns you always get for investment, for your money, is investing in yourself.
Right. I think this is the most realist money-related podcast that we are doing, where we are not overwhelming people with,
right.
oh, invest and
right.
save and stuff.
Right.
We are like, make money, go travel, have fun. Like, you know, I think this is so real. I think a lot of people are doing it, but they're very scared of actually saying it out loud, right?
Right.
Like, because everyone around you, they only talk about investment and saving and, like, you know, don't
splurge. I understand that, Mercy, because we're also in a world where COVID can hit all of a sudden. And then this free-thinking idea suddenly sinks, right? Because you don't know what your potential to make money is. Because even in my perspective is simply invest in myself because I know I can build my potential to go make that money in the future. But if the world shuts down, then what? It becomes a big question.
True.
Right? And I think most of the fear and anxiety is stemming from that place of everything becomes dysfunctional and then what am I going to do? Because people were thrown in the space of not having money to take care of their parents who were admitted in hospitals and
exactly.
all of that. So that is
true.
A scary place.
Saving is also necessary, yeah, but yes. don't forget to live.
Correct, correct. True. You live once, you got to do what you got to do. And I also feel like when you're young, the potential that exists in front of you is huge. How you experience life in your 20s is very different from how you true. Experience in your 30s, right? So when I travel now in my 30s, it's drastically different from how I looked at it in my 20s. And I feel you have to have the potential to travel at every phase.
What's the difference you're talking about?
Now, how you want to stay, where you want to travel, everything changes, right? Like when in your 20s, you don't really care about where you stay. I need a place to rest my head.
Correct.
And then I'm just going to go out and travel and explore world in my own terms with, you know, Roni and I traveled quite a bit even when we were young. Now I feel like, you know what? I don't want to pack my travel with like just going out every day. I want to have a couple of days where I relax. I have a nice hotel to stay in.
Yeah.
So your expectation of the trip sort of changes.
Correct. Very true.
You know,
true.
And
yeah.
that's and I'm sure that happens even more as you go towards your 40s and your 50s. And I feel even in terms of energy,
yes,
it changes. Not to say that you don't have the same energy as your 20s, but it is different.
For sure. Again, that also comes with money, right? Like
yeah.
in 20s, when you're not earning that
correct.
Much. In 30s, yeah. you're probably more stable than your 20s, so you can afford to do all of these
for sure.
things. Yeah. Do you have any financial deal breakers in a relationship?
There is, at some point of time, we all have a red flag alert system or a sense of responsibility, even with our own selves.
Right.
Sometimes we're really tempted to make a decision that, let's say you wanted something real bad from your childhood, could be a phenomenal car or something that you're obsessed with, could be anything materialistic. The dangers of that is not estimating what the costs of that are against your expenditure over the whole year and what you do with your experiences with your family and what are your basic necessities in terms of medical needs. If you're going to overstep that boundary
true.
And you know land up paying crazy EMIs, I think it
true.
Wouldn't be an intellectual thing to do. And I think those things are fairly simple to sort of analyze. I feel especially with today's materialistic world and you see Instagram, everyone's got something, everyone's partying on a yacht and everyone's got like a Mercedes. People have this peer pressure to look like something else to the outside world, which
very
is
true.
Absolutely not necessary.
Yeah.
You know, I feel if you can live simple and happy and you travel, that's real wealth. I feel your finances must be able to sustain a beautiful relationship with your romantic partner, your family, your parents, with all of that. And
yes.
I think that is the purpose of money,
true.
To be able to kind of lift the existence that you have and
correct.
Be comfortable in your relationships. It should be able to aid that, not be a stressful factor of how do I pay for the next thing.
Yeah,
that's
true.
What I believe.
Cool. So we're almost coming to the end of the discussion. But before that, what would be a perfect date idea according to you that won't break the bank?
I think that completely depends upon how much you have in your bank.
That's true.
right?
But,
but I think there's nothing like going to the beach on a beautiful evening, watch the sunset and chill out. It's something that Roni and I had done extensively when we were young. And money was never a factor there. Most of these beautiful places are for free.
True.
You can
yes.
go sit there and have a great view of the sunset. And she loves sunsets, so
okay.
I've learned to like it as well.
Nice. Awesome. So we are moving to the next segment. It's called Love or Hate.
Okay.
So love or hate.
Okay.
Let's start. The first one, the age gap factor in a relationship, 10 years or more.
Do I love that or hate that?
Yeah.
That's an interesting question. Neutral. Is there something like neutral?
You don't mind it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. It's completely fine.
Okay, it's fine.
Yeah.
The question is, would you do something like that? Of course, we can be like, if someone is doing it, working for them, great, let them do it.
Age
but
factor.
Would you do it?
Would I, if I was single, would I date someone who's 10 years younger?
Yeah.
Yeah, why
yeah,
not?
That's
absolutely
it.
Would.
That's
why
it.
Not?
Yeah, love that. Cool. All right. Open relationships.
If it works for you, it works for you.
You can't be diplomatic like this, sir. You have to say what works for you.
Yeah,
what,
that's
according
a, see,
to you.
See, that's a dangerous thing. If I say that, no, then there's an assumption. Oh, he's in an open relationship. Okay, that's the day. If I say
no,
love
no,
me, there's a problem
no,
there.
No, no, no.
Okay.
We can say, see, already you've
see,
said
where
it.
I am with my relationship is a mystery, Nachilla. Okay,
ama.
We'll put that aside and then say, yeah, why not?
Yeah, see, leave
absolutely
your relationship out of it.
Out of it.
This is just about you.
Correct.
Yeah, I don't mind this.
I don't
like,
mind
you know,
this at
I
all.
Like it. I don't like it.
I don't mind this. Can't say I love.
You
okay.
Love it.
That is a dangerous thing. That's why you have to put both together. I
all
don't
right,
mind.
Cool. You don't mind it.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay. Friends with benefits.
Why not?
எல்லாமே ரெண்டு ரெண்டு காம்பிட்டேட் ஆர் பயவர்
this
okay,
is effective
okay, it works yeah cool.
It's worked
okay
it's worked at some point
okay letting your partner know about your past relationships
important
going to bed angry
oh bad specifically for me because I can't sleep over problems. I have to solve a problem.
Okay,
so
you're like me. Niket
yeah
is not like that.
I can't sleep over it. Rohini sleeps over it and
oh,
she
yeah
functions very well. I can't function till I get it out of my head.
I yeah think this sort of balance works somehow because
yeah
I had another person who said like he has to solve it and his partner is okay not solving it.
Somehow the relationship has to function, no?
I know. One
so,
person
yeah
has to. Yeah, yeah,
yeah.
The balance needs to be there.
Absolutely.
Cool. All right. Couples therapy.
I think it's important at some point.
Okay. Going on separate vacations or trips without your partner.
Vacations are damn important to
go
have like, yeah,
yeah,
you have to do
separately
individual vacations. You have to do your boys trip. You have to do your girls trip. You have to do it together.
Yeah.
Because those are all very
important,
yeah,
for
important
sure
things to do.
Long text messages.
No.
Not happening. Can't read.
No, can't read anymore.
Long voice notes.
Even more painful.
Yeah, it is difficult. Going on double dates with friends.
Neutral. I have nothing to it. Like,
would you do it or you don't like it?
I'm not a big fan of it. I
okay
like, I like
okay
doing it by myself. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah.
Twinning with your partner.
Yeah, why not?
It's cute.
Not bad.
As a couple, gives a lot of importance to astrology.
See, no.
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 Not working.
Very nuanced question.
I heard that you wanted to like say something. Why don't you say it?
I go through, I read these things about it. Sometimes they're true and I'm like, oh, maybe there's something to it. Sometimes I feel like I don't want to listen to some of the things that I've heard and I want to disbelieve them. So then at that point of time, it doesn't work for me. So it's a matter of convenience for me.
Having superstitious beliefs.
It depends if it's really personal to you, something, because we all have some superstitious belief, right? I think they are there for, if it's a perspective of how you look at it. Some exist for your own personal, you know, you do
peace
this ritual. Yeah. So I do, I have rituals before I get on stage. I need to be alone. I say a few things to myself and then I jump in. And sometimes I carry little trinkets of what is personal to me before I get on stage. So I think it's a personal thing, maybe.
Love.
Yes.
Live-in relationships.
Yeah, why not?
Playing matchmaker to your single friends.
If you got to be a wingman, you got to be a wingman, okay?
celebrating anniversaries with grand gestures.
Again, that's nuanced because it depends upon how grand the gesture is. Because for me, we go out to the beach and watch the sunset because it means something to us. That's a really grand gesture for us. So I think understanding what grand is in your vocabulary is important. It doesn't have to be something that's all about money.
Money, exactly.
But it can be if you have it in your bank balance.
It,
why
yeah
not? Yeah, do it.
Definitely, yeah. Concept of soulmates.
I think they exist. It doesn't. It cannot be the person you're getting married to. It doesn't mean if you have to, your life partner has to be your soulmate, but they exist, I guess. And if it is, it's great.
Okay.
Yeah.
Idea of love
I'm
at
just,
first sight.
I'm just making sure I cover all my...
Yeah, yeah, thing. Yeah. I'm seeing that you're being super diplomatic. Okay. Idea of love at first sight.
I think that exists as well. But I think there's a huge factor of hormones which affect your better judgment when it comes to
very
love
true
and all of these things. So, mm-hmm. But it exists. It exists.
Okay, cool. Okay, so with that, love or hate is coming to an end. Next is word association, okay?
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to tell you a word. The first thing that comes to your mind, you have to say it.
Let's do this.
This is rapid fire. You can't talk.
Let's do this.
Theater.
Love.
Marriage.
Understanding.
Teaching.
Teaching. It's coming. It's between duty and responsibility.
Cinema.
Entertainment.
Infidelity.
Learning.
Social media.
Important.
Beach.
Love.
Chennai.
Home.
Writing.
Creativity.
Peace.
Family.
Nice. All right. I think with that, that is over.
Awesome.
Okay, cool. So with that, we are almost coming to an end with managing finances in your relationship. I don't know how much we spoke about managing finance, but we definitely told people to go out and live your life.
But it's interesting, right? Because finance and money itself is just perspective. It's something that we made. We created it.
Is it so?
I think it is. I think it's completely man-made. We made this whole thing up.
We didn't make the money thing up. We definitely made the things that we can buy from money, though.
Good point. Who do you think made money, though?
Money. Yeah, I understand it's man-made, but also it's very, very important for us to live our
100%,
life, right?
100%. Yeah. But I think the inherent thing that we forget, though, is money is the sort of, not even a definition, it's the meaning that we give to value.
Yes.
And inherent value is human potential. Human potential to build things, human potential to think, human potential to make the world a better place. That is what we give. We give meaning to that, physical meaning to that value.
Correct.
With money, I think.
But what?
And so,
okay, what would you say your top three things, important things in your life?
Top three important things in my life?
Yeah.
Health.
Uh-huh.
And relationships. And I think those are the two important things. I don't even know if there's another one. I think health and relationships.
You wouldn't agree that wealth is there in your top three?
I think wealth is there in my top three because if I have great health and if I have great relationships, your support system is solid and you've got your own health, it is impossible for you to not make money with both. And I think money is completely a byproduct of being able to sustain yourself long enough in that space. You will make your money if you
have
to.
That's actually very true. And that's very beautiful as well. Thank you. Thank you so much, KK,
for
being on the show.
Thanks,
it was lovely talking to you.
Likewise.
And before I leave, I always leave with a word. Do you know what data view is?
What data view is?
Yeah.
Holy moly, I don't.
Okay, so data view is basically you go on a date and it almost becomes like an interview where the other person is going on asking you questions back to back. Not in a very, romantic way,
right,
but just very curious to know what are you up to and asking questions back to back.
This is how we've evolved courtship and mating strategies now, I see.
Exactly, so that is data view. And with that, it's time for us to leave. And like I always say, be good and do good.
This was awesome. Thanks, Mercy.
Thank you.
This is fun.
Thank you.